Hey gang, are you new to this podcast? Have you subscribed on Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts and realized that you can only access the 20 most recent shows on these platforms? Do you, my friend, want to binge on How Did I Get Here? Well, check out our archives that are available on the Podbean app. If you follow us on the Podbean app, we have every single show ever released on that platform. You'll also get all of your favorite shows like Fresh Air, WTF with Marc Maron, ID10T, The Michelle Obama Podcast. All podcasts available there, and you can also access over 1,000 How Did I Get Here episodes. So, download the Podbean app from your app store and start listening today. Let's get down. Hey gang, are you a fan of podcasts and Law & Order SVU? Well, I have the show for you. The seminal SVU podcast, Munch My Benson, is the twisted love child of co-hosts Adam Schwitters and Josh Dugan, celebrating the splendid and often wildly inappropriate lunacy found only on Law & Order SVU. Each week, Adam and Josh walk you through a random episode of SVU, all while sharing their smart and hilarious insight. Find Munch My Benson wherever it is you stream your podcast, or go to munchmybenson.com for more info. That's Munch My Benson.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time. How did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Howdy.
Alright, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. This show is dropping on Monday because I'm dropping three shows this week. And while we're talking about the show, gang, I do want to tell you, I want to remind you that you can follow us on Facebook. That's a How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Go over there and like it. You'll see pictures of the bands that are up. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. That's at Johnny Gowdy, JohnnyGoudie. Get on there. Follow us, man. Yeah, follow us. Like it. Share it. You know, when you hear a show, you can actually follow us on Spotify. How Did I Get Here? The podcast. You can follow us on Stitcher, on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get podcasts. You get new shows every week. At least two a week, if not three, like this week. All right? You follow us on there, man. Get into it, man. Share the show. If you like an artist, if you're a fan of the artist, if you're new to the show, go check out more of them. If you follow us on the Podbean app, you can find it in your app store. You can listen to all 1,050, whatever, 56 shows on there. There's a lot of shows, man. We've been around since 2011, man. We're coming up on 10 years this summer. August 10th, our 10-year anniversary, we're going to have a special live podcast. I can't tell you where yet because we don't have it confirmed, but as soon as it gets confirmed, it's going to be on a Tuesday. I'm going to have a great dais of guests. You guys are all going to be invited. If you live in the Austin area, come on out to it. Okay? Thank you so much for listening to my plug. I hope you guys did have a good weekend. I had a good weekend. I went out and saw some music. I'll tell you, man, it's weird going out because you don't know yet what the mask thing is, right? So I enter a place, and it's filled with people, no masks. Maybe a couple people are wearing a mask here and there. But for the most part, no one's wearing a mask, hanging out, doing the thing. I think everyone's vaccinated. Hopefully they're all vaccinated and not spreading this horrible virus again. But it has been exciting to get out and see some music. I've caught my friend Scrappy play a few times this week. Scrappy Judd Newcomb, amazing artist. You can see him Wednesday nights at the Continental Club here in Austin. It's a late show, about 11:30. Go out there at 10 and see John D. Graham beforehand. That's what I did last week. It was fantastic. Probably going to go this week, and I'll be playing with him next week. So not this Wednesday, but the next one, I'll be playing keyboards with Scrappy and the band. It's a great band. Sky Jordan playing drums, and just great, great, great band. Inspiring to see. Guys, I have a great show for you today. Nashville songwriters Peter Groeneweld and duo I Was the Lion, that consists of Mark William Campbell and Benjamin Backus, they have collaborated on an EP that just came out May 21st. It's called Come to Life. Gorgeous, gorgeous EP. Now, both of these entities, Peter Groeneweld and Mark and Benjamin from I Was the Lion, are songwriters in Nashville. And I Was the Lion backs up the band For King and Country. So everyone's been off for a year, except for they've been very busy writing songs, and they're out there doing it. They're writing with artists. They're getting their thing out there. But this collaboration came organically. They got together to write a song, and then they started really liking what they were doing, and they just got together, and for the love of making music, they made this gorgeous EP. I think they're going to get out and start playing some shows, but we have a great, great conversation. You can find Come to Life wherever it is you stream and download your music. You can find Peter Grunewald at petergrunewald.com. I'll put a link to that. And also you can find I Was the Lion on Instagram and on Facebook. All right, get out there and check out this EP, Come to Life. I'm actually going to play the title track, Come to Life, right now from it. And please enjoy my conversation with Nashville artists Peter Grunewald and Mark William Campbell and Benjamin Backus from I Was the Lion. Let's get down.
Last time, first bloom, born into a system.
So, guys, this EP is gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Yeah. How do you say your last name, Peter?
Grunewald.
Grunewald. Okay, good. Now I'll know how to say it. Is that German or something?
And it's very German, yes. Yeah.
And yes. You're all in Nashville, right?
Correct.
Yes.
But
yeah.
But Mark, you and Ben are from Louisiana.
That's right. Yeah. We grew up.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing the same thing. See, we have the same train of thought. So we don't finish each other's sentences, we just say the same thing at the same time. No, so we're from the same town in Louisiana, Ruston. And we started playing music together. Man, Mark was, you were probably 17.
Oh, wow.
18?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Probably.
And, we've been playing in each other's bands, opening up for each other, just doing music, kind of doing cover band stuff, like frat party, sorority stuff, wedding, you know, reception, all basically everything you can imagine regarding music we've done together. And then we moved up to Nashville in around the same time in 2011.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
man, time flies.
Yeah. 10 years now. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then we, you know, we've been playing in bands and stuff ever since. We have multiple side projects together. We have a candle company. We, you know, it's like we can't really get rid of each other. And you know,
nor should you.
I don't think we want to, Mark.
Yeah, no, I'm in. I'm in.
You guys
now
are doing a good job.
Yeah.
It sounds like was Ruston. Where is that in Louisiana?
It's like north central Louisiana. It's by Shreveport.
Right.
If you know where Shreveport
is.
Yeah, it's up there. Yeah, it's just a little college town. Louisiana Tech University is in Ruston, and not much of a music scene there. So we kind of had to, you know, a small handful of us who loved music and had to make music, kind of just had to find ways. Like Ben was saying, you know, coming from that same hometown, we learned how to do music together and have hit every kind of stop of the way of like what that looks like and what of chasing that, what you can do of, you know,
yeah,
scraping it by, you know, vans through the night, which still sometimes is the thing, and cover bands, whatever. And then just, you know, funneling into Nashville now where we've got this, this duo, I Was the Lion, that we both kind of have found a love of cinematic scores and stuff, and just like what you see behind us. I mean, you can't see on the podcast, but we're in all of our little studio rooms with tons of gear and analog synths and just soundscaping, and that kind of through our own musical lens and where we've come from, we just have kind of created a bunch of songs and instrumental stuff, and have scored a couple of indie films together, and just decided to go all the way and make a duo under I Was the Lion.
That's
so that's
awesome.
Kind of, yeah, that's kind of where we come from. But yeah, it's like Ben said, I feel like it's hard for me to imagine my like musical future without Ben there too. So I think we're probably stuck together here.
That's awesome. I think that's good, man. You're soul brothers.
Yeah, it's fun.
Family by choice. That's the best kind, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, and from the outside, I can speak to them like they complement each other. Just it was one of the easiest musical experiences I've had, just the way that they can bounce back and forth and complement each other. There's a lot of strength between those two guys. So it is a pair that should stay together for sure.
Yeah. How did you guys meet?
We were set up for a sync, like a, you know, TV film co-write, via our two publishers. And so that's what we thought we had to do for the first song we wrote. And then it went swimmingly. And so we got back together, and then we got back together again. It was like, wait, this shit is awesome. let's keep doing it. And, before we knew it, we had six songs, and it was like, we have to put it out. Like this is not for sync anymore. This is viable, like real music. I think we all kind of followed the same path, like in our minds. We all had the same idea at the same time. We needed to put it out.
Yeah.
So you guys are Mark and Ben, you're a writing team.
Yeah.
You go to write with people together.
Not 100% of the time. Like we each are both, there's a big Venn diagram there. I feel like, we each kind of can do a little bit of everything, but have strengths and kind of like what I was saying of learning music together. We kind of have that thread, that connection that makes it really easy.
Right.
And so probably like 70-75% of our stuff we do together, because it's so much fun and we speak that language really quickly. And, you know, being songwriters in Nashville, all three of us, you kind of, especially these days, you diversify and get your kind of hands into everything. And are just like, so like Peter said, whenever we got together, we were writing we started out like for briefs for music for TV shows and things like that. But then it was kind of a switch when we realized like, oh, this is actually, we should start a band. You know, we already had the band thing going, but we it instantly became a like this felt like music we would want to listen to and want to chase. And so we've kind of put our full weight down there.
Yeah. What about you, Peter? Like, where did you come from?
I came from Chicago.
Okay.
Moved here in 2002, moved to Nashville in 2002.
To make it?
No.
Not just a simple way to say it.
Yeah, I moved here to play with a band that happened to be from here. They grew up here. So I didn't necessarily choose Nashville. You know, if the band was from Detroit, I would have moved to Detroit. But I moved here like, I think, 3 days after I graduated high school, went on tour.
Was that the band Llama?
That was the band Llama, yes. So I think my first show was Bonnaroo, the first Bonnaroo in 2002, outside of playing like high school coffee shop things. So,
how was that, man?
Yeah.
How did that feel?
It was wild. It was wild.
Suffice to say, you probably didn't go to college.
I did actually. You did? Okay. I did. Yeah, I just actually, let's see, maybe 2 years ago, I finished my degree I had many spells. I went to many colleges. but yeah, I just finished and I doubt that I'll ever use it, but it feels good to have, you know.
What did you get a degree in?
Business. Oh. Sales and marketing.
Nice.
I asked for the quickest path to graduation with my current credits and with the least amount of math.
So wait, you did that under the quarantine time?
No, I did that. Oh. That was right before. I did that when it was a few years ago. I think my daughter, my first daughter was born and I was home a lot with her and I had some time and I did it all online and figured might as well get it done.
Yeah. Like there's only so much The View you can watch, right?
Right.
So you guys, this came together like organically, like you were set up on a play date by different people. You didn't really know of each other before then.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like we kind of all intersected in, you know, really, kind of a perfect moment and environment because we were all doing sync stuff. And at that point, the TV film thing is so, at least in Nashville, it's one of those things that I feel like it's the kind of get rich quick scheme. Like everybody's like, oh, you do TV film. Yeah, it's going to be great. You write a couple songs called Let's Go, and then you're on Apple commercials and whatever. So all the publishers had all their writers doing all these briefs and, you know, naturally so. But it, at least for me, and you know, you guys can speak into this, but I felt a collapse of heart around that time because, you know, we were writing 60 songs a year that meant nothing to me, that I'm, you know, felt very commercial and very whatever, along with the rest of Nashville, getting little to no syncs. And so I think when we got in the room with Peter, there was this kind of rebellion against the TV film commercialism where we were like, no, we're going to write some real heart music and send it through the same channels. And I think that's really the spark that started this collaboration because, you know, like Peter was saying, we got through a couple of these writes and we're like, hang on, this shit is not bad. You know, it's like I feel something when I'm writing it, and I feel something when I'm listening back to it, and so that was kind of the first sign that we were onto something. The chemistry was there, the sonics were there, the heart and the lyrics were all there, and you know, and we wrote and kept writing for over the course of what, probably 2 years, 2.5 years,
probably so,
yeah.
And then, you know, you wake up one day and you have an EP and you go, hang on, we should do something with this. And so, I think that's kind of how this entire project has been, you know, 'cause we didn't set out to be, you know, to make it.
Right. Right.
We didn't set out to, you know, there's so much noise out there. There's so many artists doing really cool things, you know, unless you really have something, of substance and something to say, then, you know, if you don't have that, then why add to the noise, in my opinion? So everything through this whole process has been, hang on, wait, this is cool. And even to the point where we have, you know, Peter sent it to his manager and management company, and they were like, hang on, this is cool. We would love to be involved. And we're like, okay. So it's like these doors just started, you know, they were just open. So we're like, well, let's just walk through them and see what happens. And now, you know, at this point we have, you know, we have a lot of really, you know, we've been privileged to have a lot of really successful friends in the industry, and everyone's kind of, excited about it without us pushing it on them. And, you know, I have we have a really great photographer friend who's like world class guy, and he's, you know, jumping at the chance to help us out, and, you know, videographers, and we have some live stuff that we've recently tracked. But I don't know, all that to say, it's been organic and it remains organic. And I think that's why, you know, us three dads can all put our weight down on something like this, where it means something to us, and it could mean something, you know, to people who listen to it. So,
yeah, I have this question, because I talked to people that were like session people in the 70s, you know, in LA and stuff. And there were guys that like, even members of Toto, that band, they were all like session dudes as well. There were a couple guys that wouldn't go out on tour because if you step out of the thing, then you stop getting the work. And as songwriters, right. Is it that same kind of thing? Like, if you're in Nashville as a writer and kind of like leaned on for that stuff, does that keep you from heading out on the road at all? Or?
Well, so Mark and I, up until this last December, Mark and I have been touring in with a band, just as hired musicians for the last decade, almost like 9.5, 10 years.
Is that for King and Country or a lot of different bands?
Yeah, for King and Country.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly for King and Country.
And you know, it's interesting now, because there's a certain amount of freedom that comes with those touring days. And because things are so mobile, you know, we actually get a lot of work done on the road. Not so much, you know, writing and co-writes or whatever, but, you know, it's like we co-write when we're in town, and that's what we were doing. You know, we're touring heavily when we wrote with Peter. And so we would write these songs while we're in town during, you know, Tuesday through Thursday or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we'd go out on the weekend and build the tracks out and contemplate stuff and do mix tweaks and do, you know, all this stuff. So there is I would say yes and no.
Yeah.
Because obviously, and Mark can attest to this, I think, after being off the road. But there are certain opportunities that you have to be in town for, you know, or that you miss if you're not in town.
Right.
But you know, the world is, especially after last year, more connected virtually. I mean, we're doing a podcast over.
Right. Exactly.
And so I think the ability and the opportunity to be connected is sky high. So probably less of that now, of the tension of where am I, what am I doing, how can I stay connected. I think face to face is still huge. But you know, there are ways to work around that.
I don't know. I think you're totally right, Ben, because we're right now, the kind of the angle we approach music and songwriting from is really all three of us are writer producers.
Right.
And the you know, the thing now, 2021, you know, this, our record was tracked all, I mean, it's a lot of live, you know, real instruments and performances, but it was all tracked on laptops. Right. So, just cause it's the playing field is level in such a good way now with engineering and producing, that, we did it all in house. We produced and mixed our songs ourselves. And, a lot of that, like Ben said, we kind of cut our teeth doing that on the road, finding times, like forcing ourselves to like make time during the day. You're not sound checking. You're not playing a show yet.
Right.
You find a coffee shop or find a corner in a like random arena locker room bathroom,
right,
that you can like shove your computer into a fold up table and sit there, put some headphones on and like, you know,
cut some hot tracks.
Peter's vocals. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, I think Ben is right. It's like, a lot of my friends in Nashville, it feels like kind of the zeitgeist, the change of the culture now, especially after 2020 with, is, you kind of everybody having to do a little bit of everything, you know. Yeah. Most of the singers I know are songwriters who are singers or artists who are amazing vocalists. Now, post 2020, they all have vocal recording rigs in their home studios or their rooms, which, you know, thinking about Toto days, it's like, that's not really a reality yet. So
no.
Yeah, we're kind of able to do anything anywhere to an extent. But that's just kind of how in the camp we have grown up learning music in. So we continue to kind of do that and be excited and can kind of roll with it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, just to add to that, most of my touring days, which I haven't toured for a few years, but that was a conscious, you know, that was on purpose. But my tours would take me out for like 2 months straight. And so in that way, I do feel like it's harder to stay present and keep a pulse, like a writing routine, and just stay on people's radars. When I had my first daughter, I tried to make, you know, it was my goal to make a switch to be in Nashville, to get a publishing deal, to just be stationary. I think anybody you ask has a different answer, you know?
Right. Yeah. Do you,
but it depends on the season too. Yeah.
Yeah. Peter, do you, how much do you go and co-write with people, or go, I guess over the last year, go on Zoom and write with people?
4 times a week, 3 times a week, maybe. My goal is 3 times a week. Sometimes I stretch it to 5 and then I get buried. I'm writing all the time.
That's great. And I guess all of you are always doing the same thing.
Yeah.
How much, like for the last year, everything switching, like how, Peter, I'll ask you each this individually, but how did you handle this? Like, how did you handle the new, like, I know I just talked to this friend of mine earlier, and he was talking about how the first 3 months of the pandemic and the lockdown, he wasn't able to write, and he's a pretty prolific writer. And I felt like I was kind of the same. Like, I didn't start writing until like June or July.
Yeah. I think I took a couple months off because I was freaked out like everybody was.
Yeah.
And I was just, I have 2 daughters and they were both at home, obviously. And yeah, we didn't know what was going on. I dipped my toe into the Zoom world. But I feel like 2020 was possibly, I think it was the best year of my career so far as a songwriter and, you know, like as an artist. So I'm lucky enough to have this spot behind my house. And I don't love seeing a lot of people. So it actually worked out. I mean, at the same time that I say that, I know that it was tragically difficult for a lot of people. And I feel guilty about saying that it was pretty much just fine for me. I honed in some recipes, and I mean, for me and my family, like it was kind of okay. My wife might have a different story because she was watching our kids while I was hanging out here. But no, I found it. I really kind of stepped into the Zoom thing, and with some people it works really well, better, almost better. Like we've done some things where you can share tracks. Like we can record at the same time. We can just bounce tracks back and forth. So, you know, Mark has all of his stuff set up around him, and Ben has all of his stuff. So everybody's in their own zone, and we can just bounce stuff back and forth. And I don't think that those sounds or the combination of sounds would be possible if we were just at one person's place. Mm-hmm. So it's been really interesting for me in that way.
Do did you guys decide to put this out during the pandemic, and did you finish it in the pandemic? Like, what was the timeline of this album, EP?
I think yes and yes. I think we wanted to put it out, but then my manager got on, she got on board and was like, this, we have to do something great with this. Mm. So, I think we wanted to put it out all along for the past couple years, but there was a catalyst with having somebody, we were joking about it earlier today, having somebody that actually knows what they're doing to put it out helped tremendously.
Yeah. But if they hadn't, you guys would have just put this out yourselves.
Yeah.
I think probably, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so Mark, how did you do during the pandemic? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Ben kind of started alluding to that, to this earlier, but for me, it was really interesting dichotomy of feelings for me because, you know, obviously no one, all of us who were, would call ourselves touring musicians, you know, that kind of means something different in 2020 for everyone. It's like nobody, you know, for a while there was touring at all. And playing with For King and Country, they're super, super creative and ambitious on how they tour. So we ended up doing at the end of 2020, we did, I think a few shows before, but we did a Christmas, tour that was all drive-in shows.
Oh, cool.
So playing to a parking lot full of cars,
right.
Which is weird, but it kind of worked. And that was the only like touring we did during 2020. So we kind of, you know, kind of like mentioning before, being a songwriter who also tours, you do whatever you can to find those margins and to fit it in the gaps and to make things happen. So during 2020, it felt like a kind of a wide open gate, you know, you no longer had a tour, which was a huge challenge in itself for supporting our families in that way. And at the same time, personally, I felt kind of those obstacles and that ceiling that I would hit pretty quick while trying to write and produce and create on the road, that ceiling kind of disappeared. So I was able to get so much more momentum and like kind of affirmation to myself to kind of put my weight down full time on creating and kind of make the leap after touring pretty hardcore for 10 years performing to mostly and creating more secondary to switching that and really taking the leap and, you know, putting my weight down on creating. And so that's kind of throughout 2020 and quarantine, what it looked like for me. And it was actually like, kind of like Peter said, I relate to a lot of what Peter said in a very like kind of guilt inducing way, was pretty gratifying to be able to be with my family. I have a wife and a little 3-year-old little boy, to be with my family and be able to stay up all night and write and produce and mix, and write 3, 4, 5 times a week and then wake up still in my own house. So it was, I obviously still all of like hoping and praying that we get through this pandemic completely and it's all done with, and at the same time, I feel like I've found, probably like a lot of people, when you're forced to kind of confront a side of your life that you haven't had capacity or margin to even kind of look at, I feel like I've found a big thing there, and have decided to kind of put my weight down and stay home and be a part of the Nashville songwriting community and full time, you know. So, you know, reconciling that with what we were talking about before, where it definitely still works. And like Peter said, kind of depends on who you ask as far as touring and writing at the same time. It definitely does still work. I'm super stoked for this kind of new season for me, to be here full time and kind of figure out something new here.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that there's been a lot. I'm 52 and I've been like on the road and playing gigs for a living since 1989. And this was like, yeah. I remember as March went by and it became April, I was like, oh, this is the longest I've ever gone without, yeah. like, I think it was like 3 weeks or something without playing a gig
yeah.
in my life, as far as, you know, yeah. since I was 21. And as things started coming back, I felt like I was ready to do it again, you know, but I'm in a mm-hmm. band with someone who was like, yeah, I'm not doing it like that anymore. I'm not playing all the gigs anymore. Like, I'm not saying yes to everything all the time.
Yeah.
Anymore. Yeah. I've noticed more and more people saying that.
It yeah. feels like, yeah, it feels like in all our own ways, which is great, which, you know, we need each other and we need each other to be different, but in all our own ways, it's like, we kind of have this thing in us, has kind of risen to the surface, whether that's, you know, full on excitement. I need to get back, 'cause I am going to keep doing this or like, or like, oh, this, I need a break. I need something new. It's all of these kind of these things inside of us that we maybe wouldn't have chosen to address yet.
Right.
That's kind of my experience so far.
What about you, Ben?
Yeah. I mean, I would say I resonate with everything you guys are saying. There's a certain, part of, I think, the general public's need for slowing down and addressing those parts of our lives, like as Americans in general, that we historically have been too busy to do. There's always something else
right.
to push for or to strive for or to attain or whatever. And I feel like this forceful slowdown did exactly that, Mark. It kind of defined some perspectives in everybody in different ways, you know. I personally really enjoyed the slowdown, and again, spending time with family. It's one of those things that you go through and there's not much fun about it, you know,
yeah.
as you're going through it. And then you get to the end, you go, man, that was the best thing
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
Even with the financial struggle, even with the, you know, 'cause the music industry, the entertainment industry,
yeah,
that got the brunt of the punch, you know? And, there are so many people that we know personally that are just have been devastated by the pandemic and are still struggling to figure out how to like make it work. But even considering the weight of all that, I think there's something, more important to learn as humans.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
from this kind of slowdown and from this. So it's kind of like what I was saying earlier about like finding meaning rather than success, you know, because it's two different things that fuel everybody differently. And
so it almost mirrors this project.
I would say so, yeah. 100%.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're absolutely right. Because, yeah, even if this project does nothing, it means the world to me.
Yeah.
And my experience with Mark and Peter and the team, and you know, having friends that listen and love it, having you know, like I said, photographers and videographers and people who we're just surrounded with go, hang on, this is cool, I want to be involved. That
already hits the mark.
I'll never forget
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And I'm satisfied with that,
yeah.
you know, because we worked hard on this music. Like we've done tape saturation and all this analog stuff. And it's like, it's been cared for. And I think, you know, having margin over this last year has given us the ability to care for things, I think, in our own lives that we have neglected for a long time.
Yeah. And it's even just this weird, you know, it's not a black and white thing either this whole time. It's like anytime I start to think about it, or, you know, like we're doing now, thinking over the past year, it's such like a tornado of emotions, and like everything, all of the lines are blurred, because even, you know, for the three of us to say, to pull positive things and responses out of 2020 and being with our families more than we have been because of touring or whatever, like that's privilege for us, you know. It's definitely like you know, not everyone's story. So it's such a mixed bag, but a part of the big reason why I'm grateful, you know, to partner with these two guys and to like be able to have something truly that we think is truly good and truly like we love it, something good that came out of our time, you know, in 2020, to be able to like put steam behind and to you know, it helps me, and I think it helps all of us to frame, you know, what's happened and what's been happening, and just keep going, and you know, not having a buttoned up way you know, that I feel about it. It's kind of, you know, thinking, speaking my thoughts as I'm saying it, when you think about 2020 and how it affected us.
Yeah. You know, there is something special about this EP when it was sent to me by your publicist. A lot of times, like, I'll listen, you know, to the first tune and then kind of scroll through the other ones. That just happens, you know, before I say yes or no. And I found that I started it and just left it going.
Cool.
Then I was listening to it on my phone. I went to my computer and sent the guy back like, yeah, this, cause there is, I mean, it's really beautiful. So my question to you guys is, it comes out on May 21st and when it comes out, if there's some sort of demand, are you guys going to play some kind of show?
Yes.
Yeah, we actually just did a live recording of four of the tunes, and we had no idea what was going to happen. I don't want to be too revealing, but I'll just be revealing. Basically, everybody just unloaded their studios into our friend's photography studio. Again, we had no idea. I mean, we know that we're all capable, but we didn't.
We never played together.
Right.
We've never done it live.
Yeah.
And it was magical. And the videographer took everything about it was just like, what is happening? We were all singing and, I think we kind of threw the baby in the deep end a little bit and it turned out really well. So yes, we will play shows.
Yeah.
And the songs are gorgeous, 'cause they have, there's enough craft in there to show that this is done by people that really know how to write a song. Does that make sense? But then there's also enough art in it to take you out of the thing that someone's not trying to sell you something.
Yeah. Oh man.
Which is like whatever the Beatles had, right? Like whatever it was that they had, that's what that is. Like they were really good at the craft of songwriting, but they made soulful music with that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, which is a difficult, that's a tough, you know,
yeah,
a Brian Eno never sold a billion records of his music. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And I love those records, but the craft of the songwriting wasn't really there to connect with people.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what excited us too. I feel like we're the three of us have been doing this long enough and are self-aware enough and are big enough music fans in general, not even just creators, but music fans, to kind of be surprised at the kind of mystery of music, the music equation that happens when you collaborate, get with people. You know, I think that's one reason I have no problem being super proud of this. What we've done together is it feels very mysterious and very more so on the landing of being something I'm a fan of than feeling like I even created it.
Right.
So that's encouraging to hear you say that. 'Cause I think that is how we feel. It feels kind of mysterious and yeah.
Well, so when will these videos, the performance things that you guys film, when will they be available? Do you know?
The first one comes out on May 22nd, right? Wait.
This is the first, I think the first one releases with the EP.
Yeah, so on May 22nd.
Yeah.
Yeah, or 20, this, Johnny, this is what you get. This is also what you get with three
you have
musicians.
No fucking idea.
we're going to get a text from the manager, Aaron, in a minute and be like, why are you guys? But you know what, Johnny, we'll send you a sneak peek. We'll email them to you before.
Okay, good.
Before they come out. So you can see them.
Good.
But, yeah, I think like Peter said, the hope is whatever it looks like, you know, in the coming, I think a few of our friends I'm seeing are booking shows in town and things are happening and it looks a little different, you know, obviously now, but I think that is the goal, is for us to dip our toes in and to kind of jump in and play some shows whenever it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think to go back to kind of what we were talking about before, it's like if there's an open door for anything with this project, we'll walk through it, you know?
Right.
If there's an opportunity to play a show, I say, heck yeah,
yeah,
let's do it. If there's an opportunity to you know, go on a little tour or whatever, as long as it doesn't like wreck our whole everything else, it's like, yeah, man, let's do it. I mean, that was part of the surprise of getting together and shooting those live videos is because, like Peter said, we didn't really plan or anticipate what that would look like. We just brought everything.
Yeah.
And recorded audio.
You performed it all, just the three of you guys. Didn't bring in any extra people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just the three.
Right. So we have a lot of, kind of what you can see here, Johnny. I
mean, yeah.
We have a lot of drum machines and sequencers and,
it's like Depeche Mode guys, or something. Like
OP1, yeah,
yeah.
And where we have, you know, kind of spring-loaded loops or tape loops and drum sequences of things we did on the record. Since we did the record all ourselves, we get a little obsessive about triggering things and having, you know, we all kind of play everything. You know, we have a drum machine for the first half of the song, and then Ben turns around and plays a drum kit for a big chorus at the end. So it's a little, the arrangements are a little tweaked to accommodate that, but we're super proud of it. And it like Peter said, it was kind of magical to jump in.
We had no rehearsal.
Yeah.
The night before it was like 11 o'clock and I was like, dang, do I need a haircut? Or like, I don't even know. I just put basically, I should give credit where credit is due. These two, I brought two mic stands and two keyboard stands and three outfits. That's all I brought. And they packed their entire studios into their car.
Peter has something we don't have. Peter has vocal cords of gold. So
you do, man. So are you able to perform? Like, do you have to do a lot of stuff while you're playing? Or what do you do, Peter? Do you, in a live?
I just played piano. We had an upright piano and I played piano and sang. That's all I did.
You look good.
But again, no rehearsals, and nobody knew what was going on.
And we hadn't, you know, this was just a few weeks ago, after vaccinations, and like, you know, that we're poking our heads back out into the world. So right. We hadn't really, you know, we're coming together to play some live tunes, and we also like haven't really seen each other in person in forever. So it did feel like a grand reunion of sorts.
Oh man, it was great. It was so great.
Yeah. So we want to go do that in front of real humans, you know, let's do it.
Yeah. So here's the weird question. The record comes out next week. Then what are you guys going to do another one? Are you just going to see what happens with this one, or you're just kind of doing it a day at a time, or are you already excited and working on new shit?
We've already got new shit.
All right.
Yeah. We're going to keep the train rolling, man. We were just throwing around Dropbox links this morning, of new song starts, and, you know, it's, you kind of have to, I feel like this is the plight of, our kind, is, having to kind of temper your, not your output, but your focus and your attention on, you know, what you're excited about, what's to come. You know, I think I guess what I mean is our EP hasn't even come out yet, and we're having meetings on the next thing, and having to kind of you know, make sure we don't get too far ahead of ourselves. But I feel like an answer to your question is like, yeah, we're rolling already. We're ready to go, man.
Yeah, it's a beautifully vicious cycle of creating and releasing and creating again while you're releasing, before you're releasing.
Yeah.
But and at that, Ben and I, with I Was a Lion, will continue to, you know, do scores every now and then for indie movies, and release some instrumental stuff. And we partner with, you know, other artists every now and then. But I think at this season right now, we've fallen in love with old Pete. So we're going to stick around for a while and see what happens. Keep making music.
Well, that's sweet.
Pete's a lovable character. What can you say? Hey Peter, you wrote a tune with someone that was on Jimmy Fallon recently. I was creeping on your Instagram.
Oh yeah. It's Joy Alotakun.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's an exciting feeling to get to not have to be there suffering, standing in front of a fake audience or whatever they had to do. You're just like at home and your baby's out there doing the work. You can get some popcorn and watch it with your wife on the couch or something.
I shouldn't probably say this, but I don't even think I watched it.
Well, you told other people to.
No, I did. Because it was, yes, I did. I did watch it. And it was very good. And that song, that means a lot to me and I think to her. And it's done a lot of stuff recently. And that kind of goes back to where, for some reason, even with like a pause in production of TV shows, this past year somehow has just like, I don't know, opened up a little bit. But yeah, Joy is a good friend of mine. I love that song, but she's doing better than I am right now.
Dude, well, she's amazing. Ben and I wrote with her years ago. We wrote a song with her.
Really?
That we love. Yeah. I don't think we've talked about her beer, but Joy is awesome.
She's
Joy Alotakun. Go look her up, everybody.
I will definitely. I was going to, but I was just looking at the Instagram before we started our talk. So the record comes out, then you guys are going to drop some videos. And what else do you guys have planned for the next couple of months, even individually?
Man, it's kind of like, just what we were saying before. It's this insatiable craving for the magic of music for me is just every day creating. And I think that'll include a lot of working on these new songs, these new tunes we have, and doing whatever we can, whatever management helps us understand that supporting this record can do. You know, we're the three of us are a bit stereotypical musician artists in that realm, that we can make things we really love and then need help supporting them and doing all that. But I think we're just going to keep rolling and keep writing, putting out music.
Good. Do you guys know this guy named Billy Harvey out there? He moved out there a couple years ago.
Billy Harvey.
Okay. Just wondering.
Is he from Austin?
He lived in Austin for a few years. He's from like Michigan or something.
Originally. He's in Nashville now?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a great songwriter, a great producer, great artist. He makes fantastic records of his own, and he produces great records for people. Guys, man, it's been really great talking to you. This EP is gorgeous. People should run out and get it. It's called Come to Life. This will come out next week, so it'll be coming out. The record itself comes out May 21st, right?
Yes.
Okay, because you guys gave me a couple of different dates there.
Oh, I think I said 22nd while looking at the 21st. Sorry about that.
I'm just fucking with you, man. It's been really nice meeting you, and I hope maybe someday we get to meet in person. You guys are really fucking, you made a gorgeous, gorgeous, very special EP.
Awesome.
I look forward to hearing more from you guys.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks so much for doing the show, man.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Take care, guys.
All right, see ya.
Peter Grunewald and Mark William Campbell and Benjamin Backus, known as I Was the Lion. Their new EP, Come to Life, is available now wherever it is you stream and download your music. And that song you're hearing there is Come to Life. You'll hear the rest of it after I stop talking. I want to thank those guys for doing the show. It was great talking to them. I hope I get to see them play someday or meet them. They're fucking really, really cool guys. I really enjoyed talking to them. You can find Peter Grunewald at petergrunewald.com, and you can find I Was the Lion on Instagram and Facebook. All right. While you're out there checking out Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher. You can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy, JohnnyGoudie. All right. Let's hear the rest of this song, Come to Life, from Peter Grunewald and I Was the Lion, from their gorgeous EP, Come to Life. New show Wednesday coming out, Casey Anderson. Amazing songwriter. Great conversation there, too. Holy moly. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.